Blog Talk Radio. The Diva is uplifting, encouraging, educating, and entertaining. The Diva is live, and the Diva is taking calls. It's time for Conversations with the Diva. Here's your host, Sabrina Williams.
Hello, everybody, and good evening from Las Vegas, Nevada. But really, is it evening yet? Has anybody ever wondered where evening begins and afternoon starts and the morning ends? Well, we know the morning ends around lunchtime when you're hungry. Okay, I'm just being funny. I just had to say that. But anyway, now we're going to get to our show because I'm just being funny. Michael Dixon, he's online. He's going to be helping me do a special show. Let me bring him over. Oops, that was Stacy. Stacy wants to be on hold. Sorry, Stacy. Okay. Okay. Hi, Michael. How are you? Can you hear me? I don't think Michael can hear us. Well, I can hear him. I can hear everybody else. Michael, are you there? And my phone's not on me. So we're going to have Michael call back in, and then we'll be able to hear him. But anyway, moving on, as we get him to call back in, we're going to be talking about a special subject, and we're going to be talking about black-on-black crime. So let me see if I can put him on hold, and then we'll come back. But before we get started, we wanted to give a shout-out to Jesus. You shouldn't really have to shout-out to Jesus. I'm sure Jesus does not appreciate that. I'm sorry, Lord. But I want to thank the Lord for allowing him to have this show tonight and be on Conversations with the Diva on Blog Talk Radio, WBDN Media, Web by Design with Volante Grant as the one who actually allows us to have this show. We have a lot of shows that we do. We have According to Faith, God So Loved the World, Laughter, and Rising Above, Monday Morning Music Intro, and we have a Saturday Social, which I will be this Saturday. We're going to continue 20 more free things to do in Las Vegas, and we're going to talk about parents having structure for your kids even during the summer. All right. So I'm going to, Michael, I want you to call back in. But today's topic, so as Michael calls back in, I want to bring your attention to black on black crime. No, I'm not saying that police are always in the right and that the crime doesn't exist and not wrong. But what I do want to point out that we are not rioting when we have had 93% of black on black crime. 2010 Bureau of Justice Statistics report. It concluded that 93% of black homicide victims from 1980 through 2008 were killed by their own. That's a big number. I'm sure they're still uploading numbers as they go, but that's an interesting statistic. And the reason I want to bring attention to that, I understand that there are rogue policemen. I understand that things happen. Michael's back. Hello?
Yes.
Hi, how are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
That was a comedian, I think, so she's going to have to call back in. But Michael Dixon has been on the air with us. He's done poetry with us. He's we reviewed his movie, and he is his own introduction. He chose to, when I asked him to come on and help me do this topic of black-on-black crime. So, Michael, before we begin, why don't you tell everybody a little bit about yourself and why you start writing poetry and some of the projects that you're working on.
Okay. Well, as you said, my name is Michael Dixon. I've been writing since I was 15 years of age. I've done music. I've done performances, done events at places in New York, such as the African Poetry Theater, New Orican, Bowery Poetry Club. I've also did mentorship at the Cypress Hill Center, also the Urban Assembly Institute, which is a school for all girls. I've been doing some facilitation there as well. I do poetry. I have a book. And the name of my book is The Dark Side of a Lonely Child. And also script writing. And I have a film called Little Too Fast, which is based on teen pregnancy prevention. It's told through a story of a girl named Brianna. So I'm very into the arts. And what made me do it is that it's always a form of expression that where everybody has a story, you know. So I was able to tell my story and story of the world through my book and film.
Okay. All right. So as you know, we're talking about black-on-black crime. And when I say that to you, what do you think about? What do you think?
Black-on-black crime, I think it's...
Yeah.
I really think black on black crime is has lowered, but it's still in existence.
And how do you think it's lowered, and why do you think it's still in existence?
Well, I think meaning that there's been a lot of, as we all know, we see the news, we see Facebook, we see everything, and I think as we all know that there's a lot of police taking down a lot of black brothers, and I think the reason why we it lowered is because we united a little bit better, and I think that black people realize that, you know, we have to stick together, but it's still out there because of certain issues as far as, you know, struggling and poverty, you know, and jealousy and gangs. So it's still there, but I think it's limited. It's not as much as it used to be as when I was growing up, because I've seen a lot of it.
Okay. And I agree with you, and I think it has lowered, but I also think that in some way that it depends on the area that the people are living in is where it's the only way to survive.
What do you think?
Correct. Yes. excuse me. Yes, the areas, certain areas, you know, are less fortunate than others.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely it tends to get people frustrated, you know, when you're hungry and things are not going right, it forces people to do things that they never thought they were capable of doing it to begin with. And I think that's one of the issues that we're having in society and our communities. Hello?
Now, I just want to say it's really sad when Blog Talk Radio cuts out the host. I'm going to need a Snickers bar for that. I'm not very happy with that, but okay. That's okay. What we were talking about was that in some areas, black-on-black crime is still prevalent. And so let's talk about what we can do to fix it. There's areas where there's white on white crime, but what we're talking about is that and you touched on it earlier, Michael. Are you still there, Michael?
Yes, I'm still here.
We touched on it where we had, we were talking about that it's lowered because we do have a police presence now where there are police men that are rogue, and I believe not all policemen are rogue. I believe that situations happen. We're not there in all situations. Do I believe that some policemen are actually out shooting black people? Yes. Do I believe that there's black officers out there shooting other people of color? Yes. I think that some attention is not drawn to that as it should be. So I think that there's, but again, we are still at certain points in life, we come forward, we go backwards, and we are still considered to be an oppressed people. So how can we solve the situation? What do you think that a community can do when you have African-Americans, or I prefer to be called black, that are in communities where there may be some that are doing really well and others who are not, and there's continual crime? What can be done?
Well, in my opinion, in certain areas where it's more, let's just say financially stable, than others. But I would say that we would need a leader. We would need a real leader like how we had, you know, with our Martin Luther Kings and our Malcolm X's and, you know, real leaders, real leadership. I think that helped to get people together to stop so much of black-on-black crime. Because, as I said, it's not as thick as it used to be, but it's still there. And if we could find a solution to diminish it, I think that would be a greater well for our communities. And I think a voice, a strong voice, is needed, in my opinion.
Okay. And now, in the article, this was posted November 25th, 2015, and it was by Michelle Yee Lee, and she and it was done on Mayor Giuliani's claim that 93% of black-on-black murders are killed by other blacks. But what the article wanted, it was also pointing out that in New York, black homicides are committed by black offenders, and there's a homicide by police, like in Ferguson, truly in the minority among black victims. The Meet the Press segment gained attention against the backdrop of grand jury contemplating whether to charge the white police officer's shooting of a black teenager. The shooting prompted angry residents to demand justice for Brown and alleging racism. Do you think that a lot of times that the when we're dealing with black-on-black crime, we're dealing with a lot of people who are angry because they don't feel they're justly treated?
I wouldn't say that would be a legitimate excuse. I would say that it depends on the person, and it depends on the group. As I said, growing up in New York, I've seen a lot of gang violence. People killing each other over, you know, a color, you know, people robbing each other for jewelry or money. So I wouldn't say that it's, you know, I wouldn't say it's that too much. I would say it's based on the people and how they react in their society and their community, and how they take one each other, they take one another, you know, for granted, and not stick together, but fight for a lack of cause that they really don't have any knowledge of.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now I'm looking here at the crime in the United States in 2012, and it has a homicide table, the race of the victim, which is interesting. It says the white homicide was 31. 31. The black was 26. These are in the thousands. Other races were 183. That was just a criminal justice division. And I just thought that was interesting that white crime was higher than black crime. The victim, the sex, though, male murders were almost 4-1 or 3-1, but it was 4,208 versus 1,751. That's a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
Males are being murdered at a higher rate, and black males are being murdered at a higher rate too. So, again, I guess the topic today. Well, it is black on black crime, but I guess I just want to know what are we going to do as a society to solve the issue? Because you can have rioting, you can have this, and you can have that, but that's not solving the issue. That's destroying your town, that's destroying your community, you're destroying other people. So when you said that we need leaders, what kind of leaders do we need? What do we need to do to solve that problem? What can leaders do? What can an average person do to help change their little community?
You know, there was a saying that I always remember that my mother used to say. She said it takes a village to raise a child.
Right.
And I look at that like when we grow up, we really don't have our parents too much because they're you know, a lot of them are working. A lot of
right.
them are into their own thing. So we a lot of children lack that home feeling of parents. A lot of them are missing mothers. A lot of them are missing fathers. A lot of them are missing both parents. So what they have is the streets to raise them. As I said, for myself, I do mentorship. Now, I wouldn't consider myself a leader for an entire state or anything like that. I would consider myself a leader for my community.
Right.
And I think if we had a leader, one leader or two leaders or three leaders in each community that will grab some of these children up from young and teach them the right from wrong, the ones that don't, the ones that are less fortunate to have both parents or one parent is missing. If
okay.
we can just take one of these, you know, take children and raise, you know, help raise them, I think our society and our communities would be a lot better. Or if not 100%, they'll be 85-90% better. We would get a little.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
We would get rid of the crime rate a little bit more because I think that's what's happening now. I know another community activist. I know quite a few, but there's another community activist that's in Brooklyn, and he handles about 50 males, 50 young boys. I mean, and he takes them on trips, and he takes them, you know, the football games, and he has his own little football team, and they're not in the streets. So if one man can do that with 50 kids, I think if we had more of that, our communities would be a lot more structured, and we wouldn't have so much black on black violence.
And I agree. And we also have on the line comedian, and I want to make sure I say this right, Jawanda, is that correct?
It's Dow Judah. Can you hear me?
Hold on a second. No, I did not. Go ahead.
It's Dow Judah.
There you go,
Dow
Judah. I can hear you now. We couldn't hear you before.
Oh, okay.
Welcome. Dow Judah is a young comedian who is chasing her dream of becoming the next queen of comedy. She believes the spread of laughter is her purpose in life. Somebody has to mute their phone, please. She has worked with several well-known comedians such as Hope Floyd, Linnell, and is even open for the reigning queen of comedy, Monique. You can find Dell Judah at the Arlington Improv and anywhere else she can set foot on stage. She's a little unfiltered. She's rated R, but today we're going to keep everything at PG and under because Conversations with Diva, we have a lot of listeners. And now my show is now heard in 6 to 7 different states, so on Jerry Joyce Live, so we want to make sure those kids or people listening don't get their ears blown off. So we're talking about black on black crime. I had to give that disclaimer. We're talking about black on black crime, and yes, we understand. We've seen the riots. We understand the injustice that's going on with some of the police officers. There's also something that a lot of people don't realize that there are black officers who also purposely and willfully and maliciously shoot other people of other races for some of the same reasons that some of the officers that have been found guilty do. We don't know. We're not there at the whole situation. I do believe that sometimes, and I wrote an article for the Urban Release magazine. That's one of the magazines I write for. And I wrote an article on that, and I was sort of kind of took, I favored the victim, but also we have to remember, too, that sometimes place and time where you're not supposed to be is an important thing, too, and I'm going to say that. So what do you think about black-on-black crime, Dow Judah?
I do agree with what Michael was saying about there not being enough leaders in communities because I know, like, my mom grew up in the 70s, and I would hear her talking about, you know, different people like Angela Davis, you know, like when she was younger, she would talk about people like Martin Luther King or, you know, like Malcolm X. And I think having a strong leader and having that strong voice to represent the community is a very important thing. And another thing that I think is pushing black on black crime is a lot of black youth don't have an outlet. Like in a lot of the schools, like where I'm from, they don't have music, they barely have sports, they don't have anything, you know, like writing classes or any way to let that anger out. So that's why I like, you know, being a comedian, you know, doing different things so that allows me to have that outlet so that I can, you know, express my feelings or put it out there and give, you know, a different point of view.
So do you think that, is there something, what do you do in your community to work with your youth, or do you work with the youth, or do you have suggestions? Because what you're saying is absolutely true. They don't have outlets, but I'm going to have to say this. I was one of those kids who didn't grow up with a dad. And I know people have said it's because I'm a female and I didn't have to suffer as much as the boys. I grew up in a time where there's racism and the Ku Klux Klan showed up at your door, okay? So if anybody should have been beating somebody's butt, it should have been me. So I'm going to tell you, I truly believe that it's a choice you have to make. You have to self-motivate, and you can't always blame society. Because I can tell you, if I blame society, I would probably be the greatest, I'd be the number one thug in the world. I'd be the leader of every gang. I would be running the world. I would be the president because I would just beat down everybody. So I'm just saying, because I grew up without a dad. I grew up in a time and era where I should be angry and I should be mad. So I'm with that, and I understand that not everybody is like me and doesn't have my drive to succeed, because I said I didn't want to live like that. And I had certain people that God would place in our lives for my brothers and sisters at certain times to help us. So I can't say that it was just on my own accord, but I do get bothered when I hear that, you know, they don't have these outlets. I think sometimes you have to find those outlets yourself. You have to motivate. Mm-hmm. You have to read. But how can we do that in society? I think a lot of it, though, is when you have kids who see we're so – and unfortunately, I'm not blaming social media, but everything is social media driven. Everything – you have a cell phone. You have a computer. Well, actually, forget the laptops. It's basically your cell phone. Your cell phone does everything. And you have the new – what are those things called? The I don't know, the – because I don't have one, and I don't use one. The notepad, where you see everybody kids can become jealous of that, and they can see another kid with that. But so how do we, as a society, we have a tool here. It can be used for good or bad. We need to start using the tool, this social media, as a way to communicate with these kids. Because I can tell you, every kid, poor or not, knows how to use some social media, and I can tell you, I've seen kids who don't have anything but have a Facebook account, and they're doing some things that I'm like, is anybody watching them? And they have friends on there. So I think as adults, because there are other adults in some of these kids' cages, need to take the time to say, hey, not appropriate, stop it. Because I can remember a time where I got slapped upside the head by other adults saying, don't do that. That's not very nice. Now, I'm not saying go out and abuse some kids, but I'm saying that we're in a different area in a time. What do you guys think? Michael, go ahead.
No, I totally agree. I definitely agree. Social media, meaning that social media has a great impact on today's society, I think social media would be a great start for interacting with young teens and young boys and girls, because as you said, they have friends, and a lot of them I see that they accept friends that they don't even know. Now, this person that they don't know, they may have something that's on their timeline that might be inappropriate for their eyes because of their age. So now they're getting influenced by what they see, and it's circulating through their friends. So it's like a cycle. So if we could open up their eyes to see something different and more productive and positive, maybe that can change their minds and see, you know, what they could be when they grow up, instead of taking the wrong direction through somebody else's likes or somebody else's interests. And this person that likes and have these interests are probably two times, three times older than them. you know. So I think social media would definitely be a start. But it all depends on who's willing to step up and start something through social media that will be an impact, because a lot of people nowadays, they feel that if it's wrong, let me rephrase that. If it's right, it's wrong. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So anything, you would see a bunch of fights and dances that before you see someone saying that they graduated high school. You get what I'm saying?
I hear you. And my friend Stacy that's listening, she made a great point right now that we and I'm going to quote her. We have to educate our young people at home. It has to start at home. And I do remember my mom saying, and it just, and my mom was a single mom, but I can remember her saying, and mind you, my brothers got in trouble more than me. Actually, I only got in trouble. I barely got in trouble. But one of the things that my mom told me was keep your butt home. Do not run the streets. Be home by a certain time. And I think that parents, my mom was a single mom, and you know what? I took what my mom said to heart because I didn't want to get a whooping. I did not want to have my butt tapped. I didn't want to get in trouble. I hated getting in trouble. And I think we also have parents. It does start at home. Stacey's absolutely right, where you have to, like, say, hey, you know what? These are my expectations, and you have to not be afraid. I know my son, I drive my 17-year-old crazy because I want to know where you are. When you tell me you're somewhere, I want to know where you are, how you getting back, what time, who's going to be there. Because when we start holding our kids accountable, it helps them. Because when you just send your kid off and they say, okay, Mom, I'm going out for today, what does that mean and what does that look like? And what are you going to get into? All I see is, okay, you're going to rob. If my child says that, and I've always been like this, oh, my God, you're robbing a bank, you're doing this, you're doing that. Let me have structure. Because I let me explain. A lot of people, Judah, I work for social services, and I've been doing it for 33 years, so my mind automatically goes to this different wavelength. I'm going out for the day, all day long. I'm on my own. I'm a teenager. Oh, my God, my son's going to come back home. He's going to have impregnated 30 girls, and I'm going to get grandmother. So those are the kind of things that when I see my children out, I want to know where you are. And Stacy had another great point. She says, we're not their friends, we're parents. I think parents have forgotten that. And she is absolutely right. What do you think about that, Jaldita?
I'm going to say this. I grew up in a smaller town, and no matter where I went, somebody my mom knew would see me, and my mom would know everything I did before I even got home. Where I went, who I talked to, if I got in trouble that day, if I ate my lunch. My mom is Secret Service, I swear to God, because she knew everything. Like, my mom did not play that.
No, and we shouldn't as parents. And as Stacy said, and as I tell my son, because my son, he tells me he's grown, and I will tell you, I'm one of these parents, I will open the door, give you your suitcase, bye. Go ahead. Because you're so grown, you don't need me. And I remember my son was telling me something about 2 weeks ago. He said he was grown, and he said he was grown just before we got in the restaurant. I let him get his food, everything, and then the waitress, you know, I said, oh, he's grown. He can get his. So, you know, you got to watch when you're kids, how you talk to your parents, because when you're grown, you're grown. You better be able to pay for your check. And that's where we have to check our kids, because you don't talk to me like that, because I'm grown. You don't even know what grown is. You smelling yourself, okay? And I call it what one of my other friends say, you're smelling your piss. I need you to stop that, get back in the back, and sit down. And I will tell my kids in a minute, I will get up in their face, and I will tell you, and you know what? I am not afraid for you to do it, to call the police or anything. Now, my kids, we have a good relationship, but I've let it be known from the very beginning. I'm the mama, I had you, and you're going to listen to me. I mean, I'm a single mom. I raise my kids by myself. I take that back. I'm a single mom. I'm no longer having to raise my kids by myself. I have a great friend, Danny Buongiorno, who stepped up to the plate and has stepped in. And he's not black. He's Italian. He thinks he's black. I just want to say that for the record. But he has stepped in and has been a really great mentor to my kids. And they'll tell on me, up to him. And the reason I'm mentioning that, because Stacy had asked earlier about us somebody to write about that, and I thought that was interesting, and the guy that's going to write about it, he's a dad, and I'm interested to hear from his point, because you know what it is that it doesn't, because you spurn some children, doesn't make you a father. A father is a man who steps up and helps a child no matter what. Just because you gave the eggs doesn't make you a mother. It's the mother who steps up and takes care of their child from the beginning to the end. And maybe it's not always a biological mother. And I know that I'm going to get a lot of hate mail, and I'm going to tell you people now, I'm not listening to it. You don't have to like this show tonight. It's not about liking it. It's about the truth. And the truth is parents need to step up. We need to stop blaming everybody else. We need to stop allowing our kids feeling that, because even kids who don't have money feel entitled. You owe me. Like, I owe you nothing. I owe you 3 meals, and you're lucky I don't treat you like you do in prison. So enough of my jabber on. What do you guys think?
I completely agree with you. I do see something that disturbs me. I see a lot of people out there doing things with their kids like they're their best friends and stuff, and are talking to their kids in certain ways. Like, I know somebody, like, her daughter be like, hey, B, she was happy. Oh, no. I wish I would call my mama to be where I would be dead and buried, okay?
What? Hey, B?
They would address each other like that, and, like, that's...
No.
I can't do that. Because my mama would have me dead and buried by 12 o'clock.
You'd be buried by second later. Let me tell you where you're bad. Is because now you're setting up, you now are telling your child that there is no difference in me as an authority figure in your life, and now when you go into a job, what's going to be the problem with that, Michael?
I'm sorry, say that again.
Okay, so you're from what, how do you say it again? Jel Judah said is that there's a mom, and she knows that the mom and daughter are friends, and they say, hey, B, hey, this and that. What would be the problem with that when your child has no boundaries and no respect for authority when it comes to interacting in the community and looking for work?
Well, when looking for work, it's going to affect them all around. It's going to work, yes, but also in relationships. It's going to affect them all the way around. When you can't respect your parents first, you have no respect for anyone else. You're not going to have respect for, you know, your mate. You're not going to have respect for your boss. You're not going to have respect for anyone, and it's going to affect you as a person for your future. So more than likely, you know, you're liable to take the wrong direction, and it won't be a good outlook. It really won't be a good path that person will be taken down, because the parents are the ones that brought you into this world. You have to have respect for them first. If you said that your son says that he's grown, one thing that teens and children fail to realize that grown is just a word. In order to be grown, you have to be mature enough to understand that you're not going to be given anything. You have to earn everything. That makes you, and when you earn it and you can put your name on it and it's yours, then you're, you know, considered as grown in my book. But to go out there and disrespect your parents and call them bees, and I've actually seen kids hit their parents. You know, so
let me stop you right there, and we're going to come back. We're going to go to a commercial break, and we have another caller, but we're going to talk about what's wrong with kids hitting their parents, other than they should be seeing Jesus at that moment. So hold on, and and Stacey, I got your thing. Hold on, to do our first commercial break is my son Eli, and Eli is going to advertise for our trainer. And Eli, go ahead.
For personal fitness and tennis, you can call Danny Bone Journal at 702-303-3765. His company is Next Level Tennis and Fitness.
Thank you, Eli. And we'd also like to give a shout-out to the Urban Release. I want you guys to follow me on the Urban Release. I am now back writing for them. I was out sick for a while, and my friend, who was actually messaging me and helping me with this show because she's so awesome and giving me like awesome points. Stacey Darling is the editor. If you are a business person, a businesswoman, businessman, you own a business, you are a sports, you are a homemaker that does something great. Well, it's just great being a homemaker, so let me take that back. I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings to have people send me ugly letters. But say you're a stay-at-home mom, but you have a business, then you need to contact Stacey Darling, and you can find her on Facebook under Stacey Darling, or you can go to www.theurbanreleasemagazine.com. She also has a radio show that's on Mondays. It starts at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And people know your time zones. Please, that's just my running joke. And Michael, I said that for you. Okay. Michael, I have to say, Michael sent me a text. He said, the show starts in 15 minutes, and I was driving down the street listening to Purple Rain on Prince. I said, oh, my God, holy crap. I pulled over the cross traffic, went to the blog radio, and they're like, what? I didn't do that. And then Michael sent me a thing. He said, oh, no, it's 53 minutes. I wanted to say, did you want to see Jesus? Because I'm dead. Now, one more shout-out. I wanted to Jerry Joyce, and it's the Power of the 21. My shows are now... they go from the blog to Jerry Joyce, and you can find me on, you can follow me on Facebook, and you'll see my different places to link to me. All right, now let's talk about, Michael, go ahead and start talking again about, but I want to put this question out there to people. Do you think it's okay for you to hit your parents? Go ahead, Michael.
No. Definitely not. There's no respect there. You know, no matter what your parent says or does, there's no reason for a child to put even raise their hand at the parent. There's no respect. And
Stacey says, how will they understand respect if they're not taught? We rely on everyone else to take care of our kids and then blame them for it later. So if your kids are hitting you, believe you me, they're out hitting other kids and other
people,
too. Hey, guys, when you're in your car, please mute, please. Thank you. Okay, Del Judah, what do you think about that?
I cannot tolerate to see, like, a child hitting their parent because, like, if I'm in the store or something and I see a kid hitting their parent, I'll be like, whoop them, hit them back. Like, no, like, I cannot tolerate that at all. Like, if my daughter ever attempted to hit me, it's a fight. I don't care if she is 5 years old. Like, we gotta square up. Like,
we're gonna square up.
We are. Like, that's unthinkable to me. Like, I would never attempt to hit my parents. Like, once again, that would be a come to Jesus moment.
No, it would actually be not come to Jesus. Do you understand? Let me explain that. And then we have a caller, 419-917. Did you want to just listen or do you want to make a comment?
No, Queen Sylvia in the house. Got to give a shout out to you, Sabrina, and my girl, Del Judah.
Hey, Sylvia.
Hey.
Okay, Sylvia, before I comment, I want you to comment. Did you have anything about kids hitting their parents?
Oh, for true. Let me tell you something. Back in my day, parents, they had what was called parental fear. Honey, they instilled that fear into you where, look, you can go to school and say a bully. You can have a scary movie. None of that scares you like your parents.
I know that's
And
right.
That's what's missing. You understand? I'm scared of going home and getting my whooping with a switch, a belt, or whatever it took because the parents are scared of having something happen to your children out here in this world. Things are not the same, honey. Your child go out there and disrespect you. They're going to go out there and disrespect maybe the law, maybe a teacher or something else. And look, these days, people ain't not going to tolerate that stuff. I know I'm not going to tolerate that stuff. So, parental fear has to be instilled. And if that don't work, look, when you go to sleep, brother, you're going to wake up duct taped. Because I'm going to tape you and whoop your tail. And I'm going to use your new phone and record it and dare you because I'll put it on the World Wide Web. Mess with me.
You and this duct tape.
You know what?
Honey, I believe in my duct tape. I believe strongly in my duct tape. Ask my husband.
Hey, duct tape works on everything. You remember the movie My Big Fat Greek Wedding? Just like the Windex fixes everything. Duct tape will fix you. Let me tell you guys a story. My mom, my brother was probably about 16. He hit my mom. My mom didn't do anything that day. About 3 weeks later, my mom had this little step stool, about three steps. She said, "Hey, sweetie, Richard, I need you to come in here. I need you to get this." I knew what was going to happen. I realized at that moment, because my mom didn't do anything the couple weeks back. But I knew when she called him in there, it was going to go down. I literally ran in the kitchen, got some seats, and sat in the chair. Well, see, I was usually the one getting in trouble for the stupid stuff that they would do. I would have to cover for them. So he got up on the chair. All of a sudden, she took the broom, whacked him, and said, "If you ever touch me, boom, boom, boom." I swear to God, that was the most entertaining thing I've ever seen in my life. But you know what? He never touched my mom again, and he has the utmost respect for my mom.
Okay.
Hold on, we have another caller. Hold on 1 second. 419-371. Do you want to make a comment or just listen?
I can make a comment.
What's your name and where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Rome, Ohio.
Well, good for you. Now, what's your name?
LJ White. Actually, I'm a comedian and I'm friends with John.
Hey, LJ.
Hey, what's up, girl? Yeah, I had to chime in on this because y'all got this thing going about kids hitting parents, and I'm thinking to myself, I wish my kid would hit my parent. I mean,
I wish my kid would
hit a parent in front of me. I know one thing. I hit my mom once, and I just woke up the other day, as a matter of fact, because of it.
I know that's right.
Cause she sure knocked me into the future. But my thing is, you know, you don't hit the person that raised you. You don't. I mean, they're raising you. They're training you. And my mom, she did spank me, but it wasn't because she hated me or she was violent, but because it was something to teach me that this is the hardship you gonna go through in life. You know what I'm saying? I could beat your butt and straighten you. Bro, I'll let the cops do it. You know, let them people out there do it. You know, so my thing was, my mom did this to show me what it was like growing up. So you as a child, what are you doing here? What are you showing your parents? You don't know anything to show them.
Right. Amen on that. Jaljuda, did you have any other comments you wanted to make on that before we move on to another topic? Or Michael?
Just at the end of the day, I think a level of respect needs to be established, because Sylvie was right. Like, parents will put the fear of God in their kids. And I think parents are afraid to discipline their kids so they think they'll call the cops. But, like, my mom never had that problem. I have the battle wounds to prove it.
No, I'm wanting my kids to call the cops because, see, I need to go on vacation, and they're holding up my vacation time. Please call them, because once you call them, go ahead and go to foster care. You'll get a $5,000 scholarship for just being in foster care for one day. You'll get some money for college. You know what? I'll be fine. I'm on vacation, and I don't have to worry about feeding you anymore. So go ahead, because that's not me. So my kids know, and I'm that crazy mama, and all my friends know I will do it. Go ahead. At least I know that the good things, you'll be okay. You'll get, you know, they'll take care of you. Hopefully you'll get a good foster home that likes you, and I can't have you. If you touch me, you're going. See, I've always told my kids, and I'm not playing, if you touch me, you see Jesus. He's going to say, "How come you're here? My mama went crazy because I touched her." He's going to say, "Your time wasn't up. My mama was crazy. Don't touch me. I'm telling you, both my boys, they're 115 and 117. They both felt themselves, felt their piss, and they both went at me. And I remember one of them, I had to take them out from under their knees, and I got on top of them. They thought because the mama has a limp leg that she could. Mama can move when she wants to move. No child can touch
right
you. And you know what? Didn't hurt them anything, but just making your child understand, I have the power. I'm not afraid to get on you to let you know I love you, because I think what we're missing here, and this is the one thing I want to point out, it's called love. I love you enough to do what I need to do to take care of you, to keep you safe, but you're not running. You're not going to run me, and you're not going to go out there and terrorize the world. And we need Facebook could start it. Facebook could start a whole thing of having public service messages once a week, just put out superstars that talk about good behavior, things like that. Have camps. I remember when I was a kid, I went to a lot of camps. I think they just liked it. It was easy to send your child to a camp. But, I mean, I'm just saying, that's just me. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Hey, Sabrina. Sabrina.
Yes. Yes.
I'd like to say goodnight to everybody because I just come in from the club and I'm about to get my eat on. I wanted to give a shout out to you, Jel Judah, and hey, LJ. But I do have to go and you guys totally enjoy.
Tell everybody where they can find you in your new radio show that's on Tuesdays.
You can find me every Tuesday on Fishbowl Radio Network, the Queen Sylvie Show, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central Standard Time. Like you said, check your time zones. You can also find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram at Queen Sylvie or Sylvie Starks, www.queensylviecomedy.com. Or you can send me some bios and headshots to QueenSylvie@comic.com for anyone that's interested in being on the show.
And if you're not on Queen Sylvie show, then you're really not on the show. Mine is just penis. Queen Sylvie is like the bomb. Good night, darling. I love you.
Thank you. Good night. You guys have a good time. See you, Jel Judah.
Night, yeah.
Bye.
Stacy wrote this, and I thought this was really good. I love my kids enough that I'm on them if they hate me. I'm okay if they hate me. And we need to understand that at the end of the day, even when I get 80, if you act up and you try to hit me, I'm going to still hit you. And I'm still your parent. And you're going to still show respect for me. So I like that, what she said. And I'm going to say that again. I love my kids enough that I'm on them if they hate me. And I'm okay if they hate me. You know what? Because at the end of the day, they're going to only hate you for that moment in time. And I can tell you this. I was always, my mom pushed me the hardest out of all the kids. My siblings disagree, but she pushed me the hardest because my mom saw potential in me, always, you know, making me do this and making me do that. But my mom, I hated her for at first, but I realized later on, I have the utmost respect. My mom is now gone, but I got to tell her I had the utmost respect for how far she pushed me because I ended up going to college, getting a master's degree. I had a great editor, and I'm saying this with Stacy because she tortured me from graduate school. I just love saying that because she was editing my papers. But my mom pushed me enough to go to school to do better. So when you have to remember the point here that we were making tonight is it's not just about black and black crimes. It's about as parents, we owe our children the right. We owe them, we need to teach them respect. We need to teach them what it means to be a good citizen, what it means that if you can't get something, how to earn it, how to work for it. I remember I always wanted extra things. My mom couldn't afford things. My brothers, they wanted to just take things. And one of my brothers had a bad habit of just stealing. Me, I learned to mow lawns. With the lawnmowers, yes, people, I'm dating myself. I'm 51 in July. With the lawnmowers that rolled, that were like rollers, like a brush. I would go, yes, I did, okay? So, yes, people, I know how to mow lawns. I would mow lawns. I would babysit. I would pick up trash to earn money. You have to teach your children if they want something, you have to work for it, work for it. So right. On Saturday's show, we're going to be talking about parents, when your kids are at home, this is the ideal time for the summer, especially kids who are 15 to 17, giving them ideas on what to do for summer, whether it's pet sitting, babysitting. And I know some people are like, I don't want to babysit other kids. But let me tell you, I pay good when people want to watch my kids because my kids, right. I was like always afraid somebody was going to harm. I'll pay my babysitter $15 an hour, feed her, take her home, and drive her. So parents want their kids taken care of. I'm gonna say Stacy's point again is how will they understand respect if they're not taught? The respect also comes with learning to respect your society. What do you guys think?
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's a good point. I refer back to Michael when he said it starts at home because you do have to respect your parents because that's, you know, the first people you know. And once you gain their respect for your parents, you can respect other people in your neighborhood, in your community, and it allows you to respect yourself, too. So it kind of just, you know, keeps going. It's like a chain effect.
And I'm going to stop here for a moment because we have a caller and it's 9:03. I'm going to bring him on in a second. But I just wanted to stop and praise God because I was really afraid to do this topic, I have to say. I've been putting it off. I talked to Stacey a long time ago about writing about it, but I was afraid to do it on the radio. And I have gotten so many – this board has been filled up today with people calling in. I know they're calling in to support Jal Judah. They were calling in to support Michael. But I just want to thank God for us being able to openly talk about how we can help our children not be so technology-based in there. Because there's some of them are just technology-based and forgetting how to live, and then things get all messed up. So I'm just thankful to God. Right. I want to be thankful to Latrice Cole for the comedians tonight. Jal Judah with Kush Comedy Cafe. Still waiting for my barbecue. She knows I say that every time. I'm hungry. I'm clean eating. I can eat greens and I can eat chicken and ribs and all the meat I want. So if you want to send that my way, Miss Latrice, I'd appreciate it. Let me stop. And tonight I didn't cook on the air. Michael, last week I cooked on the air. Did you know that? You know, I made a ton of food and I was cooking and I had it and I was eating and showing it. So I didn't do that this week. I was behaving myself. But just want to mention and thank so much because Kush Comedy Cafe, they have opened a door for me to meet some fantastic comedians that are not just funny, but you guys care about the world. Judah, you know, some of the things you're saying are just amazing, and I appreciate Michael Dixon for coming on. Michael is going to start with being in July. Is going to be one of our regular guests of poetry and talking about because he's such a good I prefer black, but an African-American young man that just loves his world and just wants to see youth do better. Wait a minute. Okay, I'm just going to say this. Stacey, she says, you're supposed to be cooking for me. Just say it. Stacey, stick to the topic. It's not worried about me cooking. Stacey is, let me tell you about Stacey, darling. Stacey don't want to get
tonight.
Yeah, she is my BFF. She's my she is my editor from the Urban Release magazine. She's a great editor. Again, if you're a businessman and if you guys want to be featured in a magazine and you want to send a bio to Stacey, she can review it, she can look at it, and she can get one of the people to write about you guys. So please, you guys are business people. We're looking for the Urban Release is looking for many different genres of people to be in the Urban Release magazine. Urban Release, we represent a positive message out there and representing the urban community to know that we care. We talk about topics that other people don't want to talk about. So you can visit the Urban Release at www.theurbanrelease.com. We have issue 2 out with Mark Roscoe and a couple other people I wrote about. My next issue, I may not be in there that much because I have to say God purposely, willfully, not maliciously, but he brought me down to my knees in order for me to take care of myself and my health and to just revisit my life. So I'll be back on it on issue 4. Also, I would like to thank Danny Buongiorno again with Next Level Tennis and Fitness and just thank God for this show. So let's talk about when your kid says to you, you know, I'm not going to – let's just talk about parents being afraid. We talked about parents being afraid because they're afraid their kid's going to call CPS. Okay, so they do. So your child tells you – they come home late and they said, if you touch me, if you say anything to me or you're meeting me, I'm calling CPS. What do you say to them?
Hand him the phone and dial the number. That's what
all
I do.
Right.
My mama called me. If you call the police. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I'm going to say it like this. Parents ain't showing no love when they're showing more fear for the police than they are for their child's future. I'm doing this to teach you how to respect someone, but if you can't respect me in my home, you're not going to respect people out on the street, and you're going to have to deal with them same police that you threatened to call on me. You know, you're going to be in trouble. But, you know, I'm not showing you any love. What I'm showing you is self-love for me because I'm not going to do anything to you because I'm because I'm afraid of what you're going to do, as in call the police and have me put in jail. You know what? I'll tell my son in a minute. Here go the phone, because once I hit you and you call him, I hope you know it's going to take 30 minutes to get here, and that's how long I'm going to beat you.
Yeah, just like what my mama said. She said, they're going to come pick me up, and they better come when I get home, because I'm going to get you again. I was like, you know what? It's not even worth it.
And you know what? You know what's really funny is my kids. I think their parents are always afraid. Like, my kids tell me, I don't have to do anything around the house. You have to do all the stuff. And you know what works for my sons, because they love food, is I said, okay. I got tired of about 3 months ago always asking my sons, okay, when I come home, I want the kitchen clean, and I need the kitchen clean so I can cook. One day I came home, it wasn't clean. I walked out the door, went to the store, got some steaks, got some lobsters, got some asparagus, cooked it, made three plates. My plate had the asparagus, the steak, and lobster. Theirs had peanut butter, a half a piece of fruit, some mixed vegetables, and a glass of milk.
I asked my kids, where are you going to stay when I make bail?
You call CPS because I fed you, but you let them know I fed you. My one friend told me it was against the law, and he knew his rights. No, the Nevada statute does not say that your parents have to give you steak and lobster. Now, how many times do you think I've had to come home now? When I give you a fair warning.
No.
How many times now do you think I have to come home and that my kitchen's not clean? See, I think as parents, we need to realize we need to stop talking to our kids, and we need to come up with alternatives. Okay, that's fine. Don't clean my kitchen. Because, see, I'm going to be meaner than a prison. I'm not giving you jelly with your peanut butter, okay? So you can suck your luck when you got some milk. Because you know what? A complete protein was the bread and the peanut butter, and I didn't have to give you the milk. And you're lucky I didn't break out that dang powdered milk. See, because I'm crazy like that. And you know, I'm telling you, my kids, they know how, and I think as parents, we need to not, we don't have to argue with our kids. Why are we arguing? Who's in charge? You guys input
That's
on
a good point.
Me. Do you know if you argue?
That's a good point.
Why do we argue? Why do we think, I'm going to do this? You know, okay, that's fine. I'm not going to ask you anymore. My son, he has a phone. And it's a great phone. It's Galaxy, I think, 5. He was supposed to be paying on the phone part. He didn't pay for it. Gosh, I don't know, T-Mobile. I guess you got to cut that line until I get the payment. But I've already paid the phone bill. I just want my money. In real life, when you have a car payment, you got to make it. We need to teach our children reality, because the fact is, you have a little job, you need to pay that phone. Because, see, I don't have a Galaxy. It's not my phone. And I think you know what? If you take my phone, I'm not going to talk to you. You can't talk to me anymore. Get the fuck out of my phone. You know, I think as parents, we get, and I think my advantage is because I've been doing this for so long, and plus I'm just going to say this, and anybody that knows me, I'm crazy, I'm a diva, and I don't care, because I'm going to tell you what, nobody except if Jesus knows, he doesn't tell me what to do, he comes around the back door, because nobody's telling me what to do, I'm telling what to do, I'm running this, and you're not telling me. Now, with that being said, that's why God humbled me, because I'm so bad. He's like, let me humble you a little bit. You're a little bad.
Oh,
you're a bad girl. You need help, because you be telling me what to do. Because I'm telling you, I told God, I didn't ask for these kids. I asked for some kids that were perfect. I remember that prayer. I didn't ask for demons. I didn't ask for kids to talk back. I said, dear Jesus, please give me kids. These are perfect. Don't talk back. These kids talk back a lot. What do you guys think?
I'm like this. I tell my daughter, even though she's 5, my daughter is feisty. She gets it from her grandma. Because she can't get it from me. But I tell her, this is not a democracy. This is a dictatorship. When you turn 18, you can do whatever you want to do. Like, I don't play that. Not at all.
Now, you guys, because I have such great comedians and Michael Dixon and Jal Judah on the line, and young man, tell me your name one more time.
L.J. White.
L.J. White, I know you're going to come back and be on my show yourself, right?
Hopefully. Yes, I will.
You better.
Thank you for the invite.
I mean, hopefully, I'm hoping that you send me a Mercedes. I asked you, man. You know, on the air? Okay, you get nothing for Christmas. Nothing. Nothing.
Hey, I appreciate the invite. Thank you.
I'm just like, wow. I was like, he doesn't, you know, I'm the diva. You're supposed to say yes to me. go. Everybody, Michael, does he not make?
You don't see me because I'm not on the. I'm not on. You can't see me on the other end, but I'm on my knees right now.
Oh Lord, have mercy. He is a drama king.
I'm bowed down and everything.
Okay. Oh Lord, have mercy.
Okay, hold on. I'm going to put my email every space message. We're going to get you scheduled in the show. Now I want you guys to see the is everybody. Make sure you keep away from the noise and mute your phones. Let's start with the young lady, Jel Judah. Tell us a little bit about you, what you have coming up next, and where everybody will find you. Then we'll go with Michael, and then we'll go to the last person. Let's go.
Yes, ma'am. Let me see a little about myself. I love doing comedy. That's like the main thing I'm doing right now. Like I said, I believe that's what God put me here for. I believe that's my purpose. I do have a charity called Comic Care for the Community, and I actually have a few shows coming up in the future. Just trying to get that organized. Let me see. You will see me at the Arlington Improv with Monique either on the 10th or the 11th. I have some shows coming up with Hope Flood in Kansas. I'm trying to be any and everywhere they will allow me to be. I'm dead serious. Like, if I have to sneak on a set of a TV show somewhere, you might see me in the background. but you can find me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Black Planet, anything, everything. There's a website called ipeepa.com. It's IPEEPA. I'm on there as well. I'm their first comedian. So you can look me up at JALJUDA. Just Google me, and I'm, like, everywhere.
All right. And you know what? I didn't give you a chance, and everybody, I'm looking at your picture, and you're beautiful. And you are
Thank
a beautiful,
you.
Big, black woman, and I want everybody
oh,
to know that. Because you know what? Because I think that we are in a time where, you know, we are no longer, we're not going to be defined by our size. Your hair is fabulous. Your shirt is fabulous. I'm loving you. I love your style. I want you to come back on and just talk about you as a beautiful, big black woman, and just how beautiful you are and how you uphold yourself, because more women need to be motivated by you with that. Would you be willing?
Oh, girl, yes. The flattery will get you everywhere. You
okay.
are my best friend right now.
I'm just looking at you, and you are beautiful, really. I'm seriously just want to tell you that. And I'm going to say this because this is what I want you guys, the comedians, to run with the joke with this. Why is it that women have a hard time telling another woman that she's beautiful? Let me hear some comedy about
that. I know that's right. honestly, I can't even make jokes about that because I compliment women all the time because I see it as a buildup. Like, oh, those are some cute shoes. Those are some cute glasses. Girl, where did you get your hair from? Because, you know, good girl, a lot of times it's not even their hair. But, you know, I throw out compliments everywhere. Girl, I like your spine. It really holds you in nicely. You know, stuff like that. But I'm glad you did bring that up because I'm actually working on a book right now, and it's called The Big Girl Bible. So hopefully I'll have that out in the next 6 months. It's going to be, like, self-published, but hopefully it can help a few people out.
And you know what? And that's good because you know what? Today I was able to, Stacey listened to this, I was able to rock some 6-inch heels today. I feel very comfortable rocking some 6-inch heels. And I did my
video. That's right, girl.
My feet hurt. I think I need to get my little slave to massage my feet, but I'm not for sure if they will volunteer for that. But anyway, moving on. Michael, where can we find you? Tell us what you have coming up.
Okay, I don't have anything coming up at the moment, but you can find me at Facebook, Michael Dixon, Poetic Silence. You can also find me on my other site, my Little Girl Too Fast, which is my short film. You can also check out my website, www.michaeldixon.tateauthor.com, where you'll be able to get a little bit more information on my book, The Dark Cloud Over a Lonely Child, which you can purchase at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and iTunes. And for any future events that I'm doing, I will definitely update it on Facebook.
And the books and the movies and the short film he's talking about, the book is excellent. It's sectioned to four different sections. I sectioned it. and for me. But it is an amazing book. It's well written. It's chronologically talks about basically how he grew up and how the people have impacted him. And it's an amazing little book. It's a short read, but it is wonderful. If you want to buy something for somebody to inspire somebody or to make somebody feel better about themselves, that's the book to buy. And the short film is just, oh my God, outstanding. The way it was put together it's amazing. So do yourself a favor and look at those sites. Now, my young man that's going to come on my show, tell us about yourself and where we can find you.
Oh, I didn't mean to bum rush the show, but since you asked.
Hey, no, you know what?
My
You're not bum rushing the show. Let me tell you something. I'm honored, literally. It is a blessing, and I am Jeremiah 29:11, that God says he wants to prosper you and not harm you. This is amazing when extra people call into the show, because it means that the word is getting out there. Somebody knew about Jal Judah, and they called in to support. And that means now you'll come on and some more people. It's just a blessing, God. You are God's blessings and little angel tonight, seriously, to me.
And you are a blessing to it. And I want to say this because I didn't know that it was on there. No disrespect. I didn't know Queen Sylvie was on there, but that's my girl too. I love her. And Tim McGiffin, they've given me some opportunities as well. But to make it real quick, because I don't want to keep rushing on your time or whatever, but my name is L.J. White, and actually my next show that's coming up is here in Lima, Ohio, at the Club Alibi. It's called the Blacklist Knockout Comedy Show. It's Friday the 12th of June, this coming Friday, at 7:30, from 7:30 to 9:30, for anybody that might be listening, that might be in the area or coming to the town or whatever. And I'm in renegotiations with my promoter right now because we had some venues drop out on us. But we're renegotiating with some venues right now to bring some more upcoming shows and stuff. And I just want to say, you know, that I'm a comedian because I love it. I'm not in this for no fame or fortune. I'm just happy. I've been blessed to meet some of my favorite people, Hope Flood, Damon Williams, John Witherspoon, and I've been blessed to meet some of my new favorite people. You, Serena,
like me?
Dow Judah, Queen Sylvie, you know what I'm saying? Like all of y'all, you know, so it's a beautiful thing. It's a blessing that God's put me in this position. And one thing I keep on pushing is because I know one thing, like it's been said, I know you heard this before, you know, God don't make no mistakes, and He didn't put me in this position for nothing. I'm not here just because, you know, there's a reason He put me here, and I'm just trying to get there and find out what that reason is.
Well, and add me on Facebook and send me a message so we can get you scheduled. Stacey and I talk about this all the time, but when and as black people, I prefer the term black. I know some people like African American, but I'm old school 15, and I'm going to use the term black. If you send me hate mail, I'm probably going to send you back hate mail too. So,
I'm going to tell you this. I appreciate the term black because I'm going to say this much. You know, I had a friend say to me, okay, if you got white people in Africa right now, and they were born there. They come here and they have a son. Wouldn't he be African American? He's white.
Shut up. Shut up.
You know what I'm saying?
Shut up.
So how am I African American and I was born here? I'm American. You know what I'm saying? Don't separate me. I'm you. I'm just like you. Don't separate me.
Go sit in the corner.
I mean, if you want to say something, call me black. I'm in the corner already.
Go sit in the corner.
I'm in the corner already. I'm a rebellious kid. I talk while I'm in the corner. So what I'm saying is call me black if you want to describe me. But I'm really a sexy mocha almond mint, really, but...
Oh, my God.
You know, I'm light-skinned, so, you know, I'm cappuccino.
I'm brown like the crayon, but I'm going to take the black term only because I, out of respect for the era that I grew up in with Martin Luther King and Malcolm X, and meant for them. So and it was turned the chain it was turned for politically correct. But I just want to say that as black people, African American, whatever term we want to use, we need to learn to network more and not be afraid to do something nice. That's why when people come on my show, you guys make sure you're muting your phones if you have stuff going on, that you come on the show, talk about yourself, because you know that's how other people, that's how we can help our children, and that's how we can help, that's how we can let our African American black kids see that, you know what, we're working together, you can get something done. So I believe in I'm the queen literally of networking. I believe when you don't network, you're just not doing. It's about you, and it's that term joy. Jesus, others, yourself. The why is at the end. You at the end. Jesus, and then others. And I just want to point out before we go off the air, I thank everybody for tuning in to Conversations with the Diva with Sabrina Williams. It is a wonderful night. But also, just remember that you are important. You are meant here for a reason. You have to find what God has for you, whether you're a comedian, businessman, you're a pole dancer in a club, is because you're getting a real paycheck. So, you know, you're important. I just want to say that because somebody asked me the other day if they were a pole dancer, was that a good job? Do you get a legitimate paycheck? Yes. Then, okay, then that's a good job then for you. Now, before we go, I want to make sure that I haven't missed anybody on chat or messages or anything. Nope, I have not. So this is Sabrina Williams with Conversations with the Diva signing off. I want to thank everybody that came on my show tonight. You can find me on Jerry Joyce Royce Live. The show will be up set to there. And also you can find me on you can follow me on the Urban Release. You can find me on hold on 1 second. Elisha Samuel, Arthur DeVille, you're going to see Jesus if you don't plug that back in. My son just came here. He's going to argue with me while we're on the air. I'm only in. We'll get back in. I'm almost done. See, we had to have that conversation with that. So, anyway, moving along, you guys had to hear me talk to my son, and he's still talking. I'm wondering what's wrong with him today. But anyway, thank you guys for tuning in. It is a great night. Tune in tomorrow. We have a reverend. We have Rainier Martin, who's the Donna Summer impersonator. We have Kush Comedy Cafe. We're going to be talking about the challenges in churches face with Pastor Rhonda Bello. So you guys tune in. Thank you guys for signing on to Conversations with the Diva. It is a wonderful night, and you guys be blessed. Thank you guys for all signing on. Appreciate you guys and love you. Night, everybody. And as you guys know, before I end the show, I always close out with just reminding you again, you're loved. There was a lot of things said here tonight on the show about black-on-black crime, parenting. You know what? It shouldn't be about a color. What it should be about is parents, that we're educating our kids from home, and that we are now allowing them in showing them to be better citizens of the world. If you don't start at home, as Stacey Darling said, then where do you start? But you know what? It's our obligation as parents, when we choose to have kids, that we have to take care of them until they are at an age that they're doing well. So I just want to let you know that. I want to let you know that God wants to prosper you. He doesn't want to harm you, as Jeremiah 29:11 says. If you ever need anything, you need anybody to talk to, you can, whether you're suicidal or you're in a domestic violence relationship, please call 211 in your area to get assistance and counseling with that. Or if you ever want to just call or me, my phone number is 951-552-3292, or you can reach me at cvwpdiva@gmail.com. I believe in you. I don't know you, but I love you. And the one who loves you the most is Jesus Christ. Thank you for tuning in with Conversations with the Diva. Have a great night. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me on Instagram @diva_2. Sabrina Williams loves you. Good night.